is the Day Zero update for June 13th, 2016. I'm Cooper Gonzo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And this is E3 Day Zero, the official kickoff day as far as keynotes go. We've got quite a bit to talk about. EA, Bethesda, Microsoft, Ubisoft, lots of soft. Yeah, so let's just jump right into that, because EA and Bethesda were yesterday, so we may as well recap them a little bit. EA was EA.
Yeah.
They basically did nothing but tease us.
Yeah. Well, they showed us Titanfall 2, or as I'm going to call it now, A Boy and His Titan. Yeah, because that's kind of what I came away with after that single-player trailer. Mm. Yeah, I didn't buy it. Because, okay, if you can create an artificial intelligence that has emotions and personality and, you know, all that fun stuff, you think maybe you could have also created motor control, too? Just saying. You don't really need the pilot.
Haven't we already seen this movie before?
Yeah.
It does run around doing some stuff.
Isn't this basically the Iron Giant?
Kinda. Only I think the Iron Giant was more entertaining and had a better soundtrack because it was done by Pete Townsend. So
also it had Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
So.
As the Iron Giant. So that was Titanfall 2. Not a whole lot there. It's got a single-player campaign now. If that's your thing, EA's got it.
Yeah. All the DLC will be free.
Yeah.
So we can at least give them that.
Yeah.
Yeah, props where they're due.
Yep. Yeah. Speaking of, another thing that EA is very keen on this year is esports. And, yeah, I got to give them props for, you know, putting out that kind of support.
Yeah, anything that really grows competitive gaming from the developer end, from the publisher end, instead of just having everything have to be grassroots, which not to hate on grassroots in gaming, mind you, but any help that can be provided, you know, from the other side is always welcome, and it's good to see a true giant company like EA just, you know, contributing to that.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was a little bit peculiar was the talk about making stars out of players of all levels, because I really think that's a fool's errand.
Oh,
it's really
yeah.
hard to make people care about players that aren't a part of, you know, the absolute upper echelon of the competitive scene. So how they plan to do that, I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm sure.
Yeah, I think this whole thing comes up because ESPN's getting into the whole thing.
Yeah.
So EA's already got to deal with them to put their ESPN stuff in a whole bunch of games.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we'll get back into this. Plus, as I'm sure you saw, the Madden guy that's supposedly one of the best in the world, and he showed up in a sling on his arm because he was racing one of his friends and tripped over his own feet. Because his shoelaces weren't tied.
Is that
like, there's your first esports impression is this dumbass. He's one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of tarnished the image a little bit, I think.
And made sure to hone right in on that.
Yep.
At the same time, it did make it a little more authentic with regular sports, because it does line up pretty well with Ryan O'Reilly driving a pickup truck into a Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
It's like
just putting that out there.
Yeah, there are people that hurt themselves making pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was their esports initiative. One thing that confused me, I don't have this on the notes, but it was the whole play to give initiative that they talked about. Basically, they're going to be turning in-game challenges and stuff into charitable donations for, you know,
somehow
different, you know, I don't
know.
You get
rewards in the game.
Yeah.
And because you get those, they donate money in your honor, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be charitable and do charitable donations, just do the damn donations.
Yeah.
You just skip the middle step. And it's just, I don't know, just...
Well, this kind of thing is old as time, though.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to involve players more into the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of get that. It's just like, you know, if you're going to... Really, if you're going to just support these charities, then support them. That's my whole thing on it, but whatever.
Well, it's more than able to get otherwise.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what else we got going on with EA? Oh, yeah. I'm sure Brandon and I are both going to want to, like, grouse a little bit about the Mass Effect Andromeda trailer that they showed.
Mostly the biggest problem I had with it was that, you know, it's more of a behind-the-scenes thing than an actual trailer.
Yeah. I mean, we saw some spaceships, we saw some vistas.
We saw a couple character models. Yeah. We saw the Mako in action.
Yeah.
I mean, what they showed looks great, but...
doesn't really show us what the game is going to be like. And, you know...
doesn't whet the appetite.
No, I mean, I understand that they want to avoid spoilers and stuff, but the game is, like, less than 3/4 of a year away. It's actually, what, 6 months away? No.
Mm-hmm. Like, 8, 9 months.
8, 9 months yep. away. You could at least start showing us what we're going to be looking forward to instead of mm-hmm. telling us about the developers who we all know.
Doesn't that seem like a bit of a red flag to you, though?
Not really.
Yeah. Well,
makes it seem like they want to hold it back for some special event.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, this is a special event right here.
Yeah.
I kind of remember BioWare kind of did something similar back when they were working on the original Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So...
we'll give it. And this is the start of a new arc, so maybe they just
want to... It's possible part of what they want to do is they want as many gamers to come into it as fresh as possible.
Yeah. Which, you know, if that's the whole... if that's the only reason, then I'm okay with that. But if they're deliberately hiding the fact that maybe the game isn't as good as it should be, well, that's another matter.
This is especially troubling when you realize how many people on the team have left it while the game was in development.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was getting at. Like, I'm thinking, are we sure this is its last E3?
Yeah. I would not be surprised to see another delay. Honestly, would not. But I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my whole philosophy. When it's supposed to be a game's final E3...
Yeah.
That's when you got to bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't bring it.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was actually the case with most of the EA conference. They didn't really bring much.
Yeah.
And then there were, except for maybe that, the whole EA Originals initiative and to go along with it, Faye.
Yeah.
Which looks gorgeous, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You found a good one to start with.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, they said that 100% of the profits are going to go to back to the developers. Maybe I'm cynical, but I'm of the opinion that EA is going to have to get paid first.
Well, they get all their money back, then everything else goes to the developer.
Oh, okay. So I was exactly right. You know, developers don't see anything unless the game is successful.
Uh-huh.
They're going to make sure it's successful.
Yeah.
By the same token, I can see why EA is doing this anyway, because, you know, healthy indies mean a healthy industry.
Yeah, and, but is it really, are they really indie at that point if they're being propped up by EA?
I think so. I think if they're not necessarily getting money from EA for all this, they're just getting all the marketing and distribution stuff from them.
Yeah.
I guess all you really need.
Yeah.
At the same time,
past efforts with, you know, the NBA Jam and NFL Blitz and all those other smaller games they made last gen.
At the same time, you better believe that they're scouting these indie teams for possible in-house work.
Yeah, could be.
Mm.
So, and that was pretty much EA in a nutshell.
Yeah, there was Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars. And then they ended with the trailer for Battlefield 1, and then the trailer for Battlefield 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was then, weird.
If you watch any of that post-show stuff with Battlefield 1, there was a lot of celebrities. That was their influencers. And a lot of them were high. It's like Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, Jamie Foxx, Zac Efron. You watch that stream, like Giant Bomb had this on there. It's like, those guys are fucking baked. Snoop Dogg is talking about, we got a secret weapon. I ain't going to tell you what it is. Like, that secret weapon's weed.
Yeah. Good old Snoop Dogg.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was just going to be a just straight up stream. I had no idea it was going to be entertaining.
Yeah, they even had like a red carpet interview thing with pretty much everybody that was going to be there.
Yeah, my main takeaway from the EA conference is that they know who their audience is, and they aren't really interested in expanding on that in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of know going in if EA is going to have anything for you.
Yeah.
And this conference was almost like the epitome of that.
Yeah. Except, you know, except they always, in the past couple of years, like last year they had Unravel, and this year they had Fae. So it's like, maybe they're not interested in expanding their audience, but it seems like they're interested in expanding something.
Yeah.
It's like,
let's get these games out and see how they do, and then...
Yeah. It's not quite as schizophrenic a company as Square Enix, but I don't think it's far off.
Yeah, they got so many other teams working on Star Wars. See Criterion's in that?
Yeah.
Working on Battlefront with Motive and DICE.
Yeah, because that game requires three development teams.
It's like two or three teams on every game.
Yeah.
Really. I'm just pissed off that DICE is still being wasted on shooters.
Yeah, annoying. And then later that night, we had Bethesda, and they kicked things off with a very interesting DOS introduction, and then going right into Quake Champions.
Yep.
Which was...
it's a hero shooter.
Yeah. Yep. It's probably going to be a little bit maybe like Quake 3 Arena, but... Maybe not.
Yeah, they said...
It seems like it was built on Quake 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said it was like the mythos of Quake mixed with the action of Quake 3.
Hmm. That'd be kind of cool. And
you have just the different champions that have different abilities and such.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't really announced much in the way of details for that game, because obviously they want to save that for QuakeCon.
Yeah.
There's what you need to know. It is fucking Quake.
It runs at 120 frames per second.
Yeah.
It'll be fast.
It was really only a matter of time, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We've seen it, you know, they sort of made a major comeback in a major way with Wolfenstein: A New Order, and they came back with the new Doom, which is massive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, them coming back and re-energizing arguably the game that started multiplayer shooters.
Yeah. I just hope they don't limit it to multiplayer only. They didn't make that mistake with Doom, so hopefully, you know, they won't do it with Quake, but you never really know. Still, so it was a good little trailer, and I think Mick Gordon is working on that too, because definitely sounded like it. So we got that, and then saw some other stuff, but Skyrim Remake, that's what people wanted to see, and that's coming.
They got it.
Yeah,
Skyrim Remake. Is it a remake or a remaster?
It's a remaster, but they're improving a lot of the stuff in that game. Ah.
Yeah, they're taking Skyrim and pulling it forward to the Fallout 4 engine, basically.
Well,
and adding mods to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's a package that we'll probably pick up.
Yeah, and if you have the game and all the add-ons on Steam or the Legendary Edition, you get it for free. Get the upgrade for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yep.
so they can get all those mods in there.
Yeah.
In their server.
They really like those mods on the Bethesda Net server.
I'm sure all those mod people are happy their mods might break. Have to rework them again.
Yeah. Yeah, well. So we got Skyrim. Some announcements about Doom. Let's see, what did we see? DLC, map packs, which you have to pay for.
Yep. Yeah. They're going against everybody else.
Yeah, but that's okay. Nobody's playing the multiplayer anyway.
Well, it's taken back over that stuff.
Yeah.
They got it back.
Maybe but, different now.
Yeah, it's like three new maps and a bunch of stuff for your loadouts.
Yeah.
But the big news is that there's an update or a couple updates coming to add new modes to the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So this is going to be adding a CTF mode,
yeah,
a capture mode,
CTF, yeah,
and three free-for-all modes for your deathmatch.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that will be pretty good. They also made some announcements that they're going to be expanding upon Snap Map. New themes, new logic options. The big thing for me was that you'll actually be able to do single-player campaign levels. So that's going to be good, because as it is right now, it's basically you can make your levels for single-player, but the goal is basically just kill all the enemies, and then it ends.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they also put out a demo for this week only.
Which I don't understand in the least. Mm-hmm. You've already made the demo.
It's like shareware.
Except shareware doesn't go away. Seriously.
They send it to you on a floppy disk, and you're like, cool, I'll play this for 6 months.
Hmm. Can you imagine how many floppy disks the Doom demo would take? Because it's 6.4 gigs. about let's see,
you know,
just
one
get
of those
crate in the mail.
It'd be about 6,000 floppy disks.
You want, you know, one of those big storage containers that they have on ships when they come into the harbor?
Yeah,
yeah, probably that.
Yeah, that'd probably be how much it would take for the full game.
A truck trailer.
Yeah. So they're supporting Doom. I'm very pleased by that. That game is a game that I like. I don't love it because of some of the design choices that they made. But I'm going to keep supporting it because hopefully that will lead to Doom 2 and maybe they'll make the game that I actually want. So that will be a thing. Of course, a game that actually might be a game that I want is Prey. We saw this. It came out of Vaporware several times and then went back into Vaporware.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's apparently being made again, and it's being done by Arkane, the
people behind Dishonored.
Yeah, and it looks good.
Well, yeah. if it's with Arkane, it's in good hands.
Yeah,
because
they're rebooting it now.
Yeah,
with more of a psychological horror kind of focus on it.
Yeah,
perhaps. Mm. Wasn't the original Prey a 3D Realms joint?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like early Portal with a Native American man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All this weird Indian mysticism thrown
with
in for...
Vagina walls.
Yeah.
Vagina doors.
Vagina doors, yeah.
Well, it is 3D Realms, so...
Yeah, they have done some interesting things. And then, so apparently people still play Elder Scrolls Online. Apparently a lot of people. Yeah.
7 million?
Yeah. 7 million. So they announced the console release of the Dark Brotherhood DLC for that.
Yep. This week, tomorrow, the 14th, whatever day you're listening to.
Yeah. And they also announced one Tamriel, which basically makes leveling up completely pointless.
No, it just gets rid of the level requirements for all the quests and grouping and all that stuff. So you can essentially just start grouping with your friends as soon as you get out of the tutorial and not have to worry about, he's got to level up to 50 before you can do anything with him.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
That way you can all die faster.
So you can do some of the cooler stuff.
Yeah, it just auto levels you to whatever the region is.
It's like when you get with your friends in like Diablo and one person just kills everybody and your friend's level one just starts leveling up quickly because it's just going along with
it. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully that's optional because I'm sure people would actually like to be able to level up, but
I mean, you can just ignore that. Just do whatever.
Yeah, pretty sure. It's just, I don't know. I've never seen a developer actually go that route before, saying, yeah, here's all of our content. And here's the basic mechanic that we've had for years and years to access that content. Yeah, we're going to throw that out the window. I think it's their way of
maybe allowing for the regular Elder Scrolls style of just explore the world.
Yeah.
Just do stuff.
Maybe.
I feel like, I'm going to do these quests all in order because I'm a good little player.
Maybe.
So I want this intricate Elder Scrolls Online story.
Yeah.
Where I get a horse and I just hit people with a stick.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Dark Brotherhood did look pretty cool, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am tempted to actually play that game now that there's no actual monthly fee for it, so. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, they waited until that game came out before they realized, hey, we should do what our consumers want us to do, not do what we wanted to do.
Yeah. So they also talked about VR and stuff, but it's not really worth that mentioning because it's, you know, Fallout 4 going to be coming to VR. Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah, what we want from VR is old games retrofitted for it instead of new things.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, really right now they're saying it's just all Vive stuff, so not in multi-platform either.
Yeah, but yeah, they'll probably recant on that and go to Oculus and everything else. If there's money there, they're going to put it there. So they ended their show with Dishonored 2. Quite a substantial demo of Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked fantastic.
I want it inside of me.
Yeah,
it was that good. Yeah. And the thing is, I loved the original Dishonored. That game was amazing. That was one of those games where I played it so much and so often that it actually started affecting my dreams.
That had to be interesting.
Yeah, for some reason in my dreams for a long time, I was just walking on rafters for some reason.
Trying to avoid the rats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, climbing on rooftops, going into windows, it was
very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that last scene that they did in the inside of the manor house made my brain melt.
Yeah.
It's like,
and for the record, those of you who do have played Dishonored, if you don't notice, you actually get to play the girl that you were trying to protect. Yeah, she's actually playable now.
Yeah.
So
she's all grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
She's the Empress. And bad things happen very early in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But bad things happen very early in the first game, too, so it shouldn't really be that much of a surprise.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but that manor house sequence that I was talking about just now, it's like, okay, they're doing some pretty clever technical mojo in there to get that working, because they're basically running two simulations simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, and be able to switch between them that fluidly, that looked, yeah. I want to try that, see how it actually works in practice. The other thing that Dishonored had was probably one of the first really good E3 trailers. So
it's one I'm going to be going back to several times.
Yeah, I wish I could find the who did that cover of that song, though. This, that'd be nice. So that was Bethesda. We got some news from Kotakawa, if you want to sum it up, Pat. Didn't get a whole lot.
The information hasn't really been elaborated upon very well. It seems to, the Kotakawa show seems to have revolved around four games in particular. Demon Gaze 2, which is a known property, I guess, in Japan. I know nothing about the IP myself.
Hmm.
But it got a bit of a response from what I'm hearing. A JRPG called God Wars, which I would say has a pretty good chance of making it over here. A Lovecraftian dungeon crawler called Project Code Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can Yeah, it's very Kadokawa if you're familiar with some of the games that they've already released over here. It's the kind of thing they would do.
Okay.
And then perhaps the most noteworthy item on this list because, you know, for the simple fact that it's got a confirmed English localization already, is Root Letter. That's a visual novel. And all these games, as far as I'm aware, are coming to PS4 and PS Vita.
Hmm.
So Kadokawa has definitely taken a side in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sony's a lot easier to work with than Microsoft is as far as, you know, smaller developers are concerned. So not really that surprised. So that's what
I'm not sure if I'd call Kadokawa small, but I guess in terms of the gaming space, they might be looked at as such.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially for Japan.
Yeah.
But they don't give a crap about Xbox anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that Hold on. Okay, so I was making a mistake.
Kadokawa, giant media conglomerate.
Yeah. I thought Root Letter was somehow going to be related to God Wars Beyond Time, other than the fact that it's the same developer.
Yeah.
But apparently they were both developed side by side, and I'm pretty sure that Root Letter comes out on Thursday in Japan. So,
pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just kind of the last appearance before it gets released.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. So that was them. And today we kicked off with Microsoft. They had a lot to show, so much so that a lot of their games they only showed in trailer form just because they had so much crap to talk about. Among them, of course, we saw Scalebound again.
And with a little bit of snark because it was the whole demo was based around a giant enemy crab.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a DMC version of Lost Planet 2.
Hmm.
Here's his boss, here's the obvious weak points. Occasionally get to jump on him and slash at him.
Yeah.
But it's also co-op play, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That demo that they were doing is co-op. So it looks good. I just
want to see what it looks like in regular form.
Yeah.
Just boss mode.
Yeah, it would be nice to see if there's, you know.
Yes, we know. You got bosses and they behave like every other boss.
Yeah. Dodge their
surprise.
Attacks until they hit a wall, and then you hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw Sea of Thieves
from Rare.
Incompetent
pirates, or a realistic demonstration of what multiplayer is like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see a whole lot, but what they showed was interesting.
It looked amusing.
Yeah.
There's water down here. That's bad, right?
And it got worse.
Yeah, like they started off getting drunk at the pub.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we gotta get on the boat now.
Yeah.
I don't think they were just virtual drunk either.
Yeah. Actually, we're getting drunk. That's kind of funny. So, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to playing that one. It looks like it's still got that Rare, you know, that Rare fun to it. So hopefully it doesn't disappoint. We'll see when it comes out in 2017. Oh, yeah, and that's another thing that we saw a lot of this year, today, and yesterday. Lots of 2017s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't hear about it coming out this year, it's probably not coming out this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you did hear about it coming out this year, it might still not come out this year.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So we got that. Gears of War 4, more info on that. Big gameplay demo.
Looks good.
Yeah, looks actually pretty solid. And
Well, that you can sort of use the destruction in the environments to take out enemies like that storm.
Yeah.
So it just makes it look like weird, like you're standing on a wall that's this thing's just falling down, but it's not. It's coming horizontally at you.
Yeah.
Weird way.
Am I the only one who thought it was really amusing when the guy was huddled down? I think it was behind a log or something. And the enemy just charges straight at him, leaps over the log, and doesn't even look back at the guy. just jumps over, like, no fucks given.
It's like,
and he, well, okay, I'll keep going.
Yeah. AI? Yeah. Of course, we saw the obligatory Forza game. Seems like we're seeing one every year now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This time it was Forza Horizon 3. It's in Australia. That's pretty much it.
It's not the game we
destroy their whole ecosystem now.
Yeah.
Take out all the kangaroos.
Yep. We wanted Project Gotham 5. We didn't get it.
It really felt like this was the year, too.
Yeah, uh-huh. It could have been, but... Nope. Another Horizon Festival. Joy.
I think I'm going to take a pass on this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But we also saw Halo Wars 2. Looks actually quite good. Creative Assembly and 343 are working together on this one. Real-time strategy game on the console that doesn't look, you know, entirely terrible. Shouldn't really be that surprising, because the first Halo Wars was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Beta is open for registrations right now, so if you want to get that, you can go in and just download it.
Yeah, they're doing a weird thing with the beta where it's two different modes. There's one mode's going on for the next few days, and then switching over to the other for the last half of it.
Hmm. Little thing I gleaned from the PC conference is that they're actually tailoring it to multiple audiences. There are going to be modes for, like, the ultra-hardcore competitive RTS crowd, and then there's going to be... There are going to be modes for a more casual, maybe not so well versed RTS crowd. So,
yeah,
Creative Assembly's been on a roll lately. So,
yeah,
yeah. If the PC crowd isn't taking the StarCraft, I'm not sure how well they're going to take to this.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I think the PC crowd is probably too busy playing Ashes of the Singularity or benchmarking the computers with Ashes of the Singularity, but. That's beside the point. We got that. And then we got the hardware releases, which I was a little bit surprised by. One of them was not surprising. The other one kind of was. We saw the Xbox One S, which leaked yesterday, right after right after we finished recording the show, that news broke. So that was annoying. It's pretty much everything we expected. Smaller Xbox One. It's white.
No Kinect.
It's holy. It's got a lot of holes.
Yeah, they added more ventilation than the original head.
Yeah.
Now there's just holes all over it.
Yeah. The Swiss cheese console. Still has a Blu-ray drive, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Yeah, they're doing 4K support for streaming stuff.
Yeah, HDMI 2.0 has HDR support, which is actually going to be used in... Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah.
Won't be playing the game at 4K, but you'll at least get HDR out of it. So that's
despite fine. What they said during the press conference, you're not getting the 2-terabyte system for $299.
No, you're only getting the 500-gigabyte for that price.
That's 500-gig for $299, 1-terabyte for $349, and $399 for the 2-terabyte. Supposedly that one's going to be a limited edition.
Yeah. Yeah, so, isn't that the Gears one, maybe? I don't know.
That was a Gears controller.
Hmm.
It's a $200 Elite controller. It's got Gears stuff on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one didn't go down well. Or you can just wait
for them to make, like, $20 accessories for Gears stuff.
Yeah.
Because they do that for Halo right now. They have Halo themes, like buttons and bumpers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they also announced a new setup controller, so.
Yeah, it's got improved wireless. There's Bluetooth, so you can better connect to PC.
Yeah.
And it's got the textured back, like the PS4 controllers.
Yeah.
And I forget what else they had. Better sticks, I guess.
And expensive.
$60.
60?
Yeah, it's the custom ones that are pricier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I get your dumb name written on a controller, it's $90.
No,
you just want big colors, it'll be $80.
No, I'll just take black.
Okay. Want to pay more? You want to pay more money for everything? Microsoft will support you.
Hmm. That's good. Yeah. And then at the end of the show, they kind of showed off that Scorpio exists. So
yeah, it really should have waited until next year.
Kind of
the excuse that Phil Spencer gave was kind of weak sauce, that they just wanted to make their developers and partners don't know that that this was going to be a thing, so they could start preparing games for it. Now you can do that behind closed doors.
Yes,
you're telling them at your press conference you fucked up.
If that's the only way that you communicate with your developers, you've got issues. So yeah, it's like we love you, Phil, but nope, just nope.
They got some good things going with the
bad.
Yeah, they got some good things going with like the Xbox Play Anywhere initiative, which is their version of cross-buy, which they don't have any details of it yet. It's like, do I buy a retail version of Gears 4? Do I get the digital version on Windows 10 for free?
Hmm.
If I just rent it, do I get that game for free and then get rid of the disc? Like,
I think it's what? Digital only.
It's digital. Okay, they should have said that.
Yeah.
They said nothing. They said, buy the game, you get the other one for free.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I imagine it's going to be digital. Kind of would have to be able to manage that kind of licensing.
And with how huge those games are, I'm not exactly interested in downloading those 40 to 50 gig game on my PC just so I can switch, since I got both sitting right next to each other, my TV and my computer. It's like, okay, I'll look this way and this way. It's 100 gigs of the space on these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you got a meter connection, well, oops. Yeah. Or you just ate all your bandwidth.
Yeah. I can understand like cross-buy between like PS4 and Vita, because I can take one with me somewhere or watch TV and play this thing.
You got a
versatility
big,
there.
If you got a big gaming laptop, you could take your laptop with you.
Yeah, but that's, what, $1,000?
Starting?
Yeah.
But, there is...
There's a lot of weird stuff going on trying to switch between console and PC.
Yeah.
There's more saying, hey, if you own this on... You own an Xbox One, you don't need the PC anymore, or vice versa.
Yeah. Well, I think what Microsoft is really doing here is catering to two different audiences. They're not trying to bring one over to the other. They're basically saying, if you want just a box that you can plug into your TV and play games, we've got that. If you're the type of person that's got a really pretty good PC and you're running Windows 10 and you want to run Xbox games, we've got those too. So as long as, you're playing in the Microsoft ecosystem, I think Microsoft is more than happy to take your money.
Just play in our ecosystem.
Yep.
Please.
Mm.
Our ecosystem is full of mobile games.
they really need to do something about the store. Because in the last update, I don't know if you noticed, Chris, but they kind of ruined it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the actual store?
Yeah.
I don't go in there very much.
Holy crap, is it slow.
Oh. I'm sure Cortana doesn't help.
No.
It's like, wait, let me Bing that for you.
Nope. The worst thing is she Bings stuff that she could do, that the Xbox could do before. It's like, oh, come on, guys. Are you really?
Wait, you want to go to your games? What are those? Let me Bing that.
Yeah. No, I wasn't talking to you, Cortana. Shut up. So, yeah. And I guess we'll move on. Final show.
Well, they got a lot of cool indie stuff we should talk about.
Oh, yeah, they did. Definitely.
Inside looked really cool there.
Yeah, saw a little bit of Cuphead. What else did we see?
There's Stardew Valley that's coming over.
Yeah.
That's coming to everything.
Yeah.
It's on Wii U as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed off the next game that's going to be in their Xbox preview, which is We Happy Few, which looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, that looked great.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's like
that's
yep.
That's
off
good
your meds,
stuff.
We kill you. Yeah, it was good stuff. Overall, I think Microsoft was pretty solid this year. I think they kind of Osborne'd themselves by announcing Scorpio right now.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's we'll see how well the Xbox S sells. I'm not buying one. I have no need to.
I don't know. Yeah, they did the weird thing where they announced Dead Rising 4 and then State of Decay 2. Here's your two zombie open world games.
Yeah, one of them is Christmas themed and the other one is not.
One comes out this year, one comes out next.
Yeah. Yeah, you got zombies. If you like zombies, the Xbox One is covered because also DayZ is coming out. So
that's something.
That was another. Dead Rising 4 was another really, really good trailer.
Yeah. Just completely inappropriate music for what was going on, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they announced some Xbox Live stuff too as well.
Yeah.
Clubs, LFG stuff, and the tournament stuff.
Yeah, the tournament stuff is kind of interesting. I want to see how that actually works. Because that could be useful.
Yeah.
You know, want us for stuff like, you know, online streams, maybe.
Yeah.
Especially if people like EA are actually going to be using that.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, Capcom or whoever will start using that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this LFG stuff looks essentially like Twitter posts.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I want to do this thing. And does he have, like, tags you can...
Yeah.
I give it 2 days before it's a festering pustule on the internet.
Here's one for Halo 5 Guardians. Says, tags are campaign, legendary, casual, gender inclusive.
Oh, dear. That's...
So if you want to be bigoted...
See where I'm going with this?
This is going to go bad very, very quickly.
He-Man Woman Haters Club. We're only looking for the men.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a gay guy and wants to get some friends.
Yeah.
We'll look at the positive part of that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, finally, what I think was the kind of the star of today was Ubisoft's show.
Best show so far at E3, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course, hosted by Aisha Tyler, because it must be.
Mm-hmm.
It was a treasure to us all.
Yes. And very clued in to what's actually going on. So,
yeah.
Very, very pleased by that. We saw, of course, South Park.
The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah. It looked funny.
Yeah.
Battle system looked really interesting.
Kind of looks like Radiant Historia.
Hmm.
A little bit.
They kind of added a sort of strategy RPG element to it with the gridded spots you can move around in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like XCOM meets Radiant Historia meets Earthbound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looked really, really good. Actually,
and more...
Play that
that's way. Not
more
a bad pedigree.
No.
Yeah, no. A story that seems like it's going to riff on Marvel as much as possible in DC.
Yes. I noticed that too. I wonder how quickly they put that together. Because that wasn't the story last time.
Nope.
Yeah, it's all about... Essentially, it's the next day after the last game. Everybody decided they wanted to be superheroes instead of Lord of the Rings characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looked good. So what else we saw? Ghost Recon Wildlands. Yeah.
Looked really good, actually.
There's our The Division with crappy co-op, scripted co-op demos. Here's what it would be if you put people that knew everything about the game, play it. I'm going to go on the train tracks on the east side of this village. Like, who the hell would know that when they're playing this game?
Yeah.
Maybe they should have sourced their test players from the same pool that Microsoft got their Sea of Thieves testers from.
Yeah, that would have been far more entertaining. But
he just conveniently lets the bad guy get away.
It's like, oh, the helicopter just crashed into the ground. Yeah, that probably would have
had some battlefield stuff going on.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm going to help you. Crash.
Because that's what always happens in Battlefield. Yeah. But it looked good. It's, they got, what is that? Still milking the Tom Clancy name for everything it's worth.
They own the Tom Clancy name.
Yeah.
Just don't own the soul.
Yeah. But they wish they did.
Or do they?
Well, they have to hire his son.
Yeah. Could be. What else we saw? Yeah, For Honor.
They gave us an amazing cinematic trailer.
Yeah, and a pretty long gameplay demo as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I like the message to the trailer. It's like, they fight, they don't know why.
Yeah, it's like, been fighting so long, I don't know why the hell I'm doing it anymore.
We fight for honor.
Yeah. Yeah, those fights look pretty brutal, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still very much on my radar, just like it was last year.
Yeah.
I have to get this game.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, yeah, you can get it on February 14th, 2017. Cause,
same day as Persona 5.
Yeah. So that's two games that have really inappropriate release dates. Thematically.
Well, putting aside what day it's landing on, just the fact that it's these two really massive games landing on the same day just gives me a bit of heartburn.
Yeah.
At least Persona 5 has relationship aspect to it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, For Honor.
This one's just kill, kill, stab, stab.
Yeah.
Throw off a ledge.
But what I like about For Honor is that it's kind of like what my own personal vision of the Dynasty Warriors series would be.
Hmm.
Less blinding adrenaline and a lot more sort of strategy to it, deliberation in battle.
Hmm.
Yeah. Kind of like
you actually have to make specific moves rather than just mashing a button all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of look like Dark Souls meets Dynasty Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Clang was supposed to be.
Yeah. Except that
before it turned out to be a lie.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it was a lie or just the fact that they weren't apt enough to be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
So, either way.
Oh, the awesome thing is their director that they keep putting in front of that, an awesome beard.
Yeah.
Knows how to be a showman.
Awesome beard, and he's got this really growly voice that, like, is perfect for presenting that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think I said this last year, but he really came off as somebody who actually wanted to pillage some shit.
Yeah.
He looks like it, too.
Yeah. Like, he is part Viking, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, he looks like... He comes off like he's actually making this game to fill a need in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get him some robes and cane and a nice axe. He can mess some people up.
Yeah. So, after For Honor, we saw some indies. Yeah. Trials of the Blood Dragon. I was very confused when I saw the directors of the game coming out all, like, wrestling style.
And then everything kind of fell wrestling into place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the people behind Blood Dragon and Trials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's make something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I said this before we started recording, but I really think Blood Dragon can safely be the name of a trope where you just take anything, like anything at all, and just 80s the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're Blood Dragoning it at this point.
Yeah.
There are also 90s in that Saved by the Bell sort of start to that trailer.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Ish.
That whole start at the beginning was Saved by the Bell's intro thing.
Hmm. Yeah. And that's out now, so you don't have to, if you actually want to play really, really funky looking trials courses that look like they've come out of some crystal meth inspired vision, you can do that. And
yeah, with Contra segments.
Yeah. Because, I don't know why, but you can.
Well, if you control it like a trials
Contra, person, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope you control them like a trials person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year they did that that expansion to Trials with the unicorns, cat riding the unicorn.
The awesome Max
edition. Just because
that controlled like trials spike.
Yeah,
controlled a horse like a motorcycle.
Yeah, well, that actually almost kind of makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah, but you like flip them like a bike too.
Okay, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, and anatomy just doesn't work that way.
That's where you know it's a video game.
Yeah.
Just spin it on the axis, like an actual horse.
And we're totally okay with that, because it looked like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we saw Grow Up, which is the sequel to Grow Home.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Yes,
haven't
it
played,
does.
Haven't played Grow Home yet.
Yeah, it was essentially like a big 3D platformer mixed with like rock climbing.
Hmm.
So you're essentially trying to get to these parts of the plant that you can grow out to hit these specific rocks, get the energy from them.
Hmm.
It allows the plant to grow up higher to its eventual goal.
Hmm.
Now essentially they give you new tools and such so you can go trying to get down from the planet to the moon, so much higher. You're able to throw down seeds to start growing like mushrooms to jump off of and things like that.
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit more power to it, I guess.
Well, it looked interesting enough.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's the kind of game I would particularly go for, but that's the one thing I did like about Ubisoft is they seem to have something for pretty much everybody there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking in the podcast chat while it was all going on, right after they got done with For Honor, we were more or less like, okay, they can just put a bow on it now. That, you know, and then they just kept going and
yeah,
just put on this really epic conference.
Yeah. I could have done without the Assassin's Creed movie block.
That was a party foul.
Yeah. You know, at the very least, I could have accepted just the trailer, but no more than that.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Know, other than that, we're just not talk about Assassin's Creed at all, seeing as it's an off year and you don't have one to talk about. But whatever. And they talked about VR. We saw Eagle Flight and their PvP mode, which I'm confused.
It looked like a kart racer.
Eagle Flight really didn't need to be any more than it was last year. I would have been perfectly okay with it just remaining kind of a tech demo, relaxation app sort of thing.
I think that will still be there, but yeah, they wanted some sort of multiplayer in there for some reason.
Yeah, that coveted four-player multiplayer, local multiplayer.
Yeah.
With like thousands of dollars of equipment, machines.
Yeah.
In one spot.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that multiplayer is really fun once you get past the projectile vomiting. I just don't know how necessary it is.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Ubisoft turned around and basically every Trekkie in the world suddenly had to change their pants.
Yeah. Star Trek Bridge Crew. Yeah, you knew some shit was going down when, you know, you hear the narration being done by LeVar Burton. And then you start seeing all of the cool, you know, bridge simulation. And it's basically a multiplayer party game where you run the starship. And
I'm actually surprised nobody had thought of this before.
There's one mobile game that was kind of that, except it was also ridiculous. That, like, everything you were doing was kind of nonsensical.
I remember
like,
that.
Like, turn on the gigaflops.
Yeah.
Need more. Here's the authentic thing.
Yeah, I think that was called Space Team.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, this looks like that, but in the Star Trek universe and more realistic. And I know several people who, if they had the VR, would be buying this stuff, that shit right now. I would be, because, hell, that looks like something I would be into.
You're not kidding. That's something I'd be into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we can't have the holodeck, I mean, that's the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give it
on the bridge. Yeah. Okay. And the last couple of items that Ubisoft ended their show with, Watch Dogs 2, which looks way better than the original ever did.
And that's kind of sort of cause for concern at first, because we know what happened.
Yeah, the first one looked really, really good at E3, too.
Yeah, the first one did, and then except the first one wasn't actually showing gameplay, and this one was.
Yeah, that was before there were consoles that was being made for.
Yeah, so there's that. Set in San Francisco. It's a new hero.
Who's wearing the story behind him is a little bit stupid. Because basically, as a kid, he's the subject of some hacker falsifying his profile. It's part of this whole CTOS thing.
Yeah.
So he got into legal trouble that I think eventually was acquitted for, but now he can do that shit to other people.
Yeah, and he does.
Hey, here's Terrorist.
Yeah. Part of DedSec, and should probably check out our article on DedSec. That's smashpad.com. Because Ted wrote that a long time ago.
Ted coined the term.
Royals. I think he got that from the first
game. Yeah, he got that from the first game. But it was fun. And that was Watch Dogs 2.
I still need to play the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like cheap. The first game where, for a guy that's a master hacker, it's also a crack shot with the gun. And he's also a master parkour person.
Yeah. not so much in this one. I mean, yeah, the guy is athletic, but I saw a lot of them using non-lethal stuff.
But he was also
that takedown
riding that wire.
Yeah.
Like a mile and a half.
Yeah. Well, that's just basically hold on for your life. let go.
One guy down while he chokes out another.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, looks good. We'll be coming out 11/11 or 11/19? 11/19. So that will be available on PS4, Xbox One, PC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, as is typical for Ubisoft, when they end their conference, they usually like to bring out one more thing. And this year, it was a doozy. It was a little game called Steep, which is basically kind of like a Winter Wonderland playground.
It's Warren Miller, the game.
Yeah.
It's SSX3.
Yeah. Could be. All of that. And GoPro, because that's in there. I'm actually surprised at how accurate the GoPro view in that game actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got it sounded
like a game that's on Steam right now called Snow, which is a free-to-play skiing game. I think it also has some other things you can do, but sort of you just doing tricks and shit down the mountain.
Yeah. I'm sure this will have, like, objectives and stuff that you can go do, but it seems like it's just, you know, you go to the mountain and you just do whatever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a beta going on later this year. Taking signups now on steepgame.com.
Yeah.
Lots of betas everywhere.
Lots of betas.
Check all the official sites.
Yep. And, And then to end off the show, they basically brought out all of the creators onto the stage to do a final farewell and thank you to the audience, which is probably one of the classiest moves I've ever seen at an E3.
Mm-hmm. And well deserved.
It's also a fuck you to Vivendi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Vivendi might have gotten Game Loft, but still don't have Ubisoft. So, and that's pretty much the day so far. What time is it right now? Let's see here.
An hour.
About an hour or so, yeah. We got Sony coming up. And I expect they'll have some pretty interesting stuff to talk about. I'm expecting that they're going to go probably about 2 hours if past E3s are any indication.
Yep.
My question is, since Microsoft tipped their hand about Scorpio, wonder if Sony recants and actually mentions Neo again.
I hope not.
Even though Andrew House said he probably wouldn't want to.
No, I think they want PlayStation VR to be the focus for hardware.
Yeah.
Hey, we got this thing coming out in a few months. Here's a crap load of games coming out.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
I think it would be to Sony's benefit to spend as much time as possible talking about software and not specs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to see Sony talk about Gran Turismo Sport, and that's pretty much a given. Yeah. I like
King of Fighters 14 is probably going to be there the way Sony's been promoting SNK lately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see some more about indies. Sony's support of indies is usually really good, so
yep.
I'm sure we're going to see a lot of good stuff there. And then, as we probably talked about yesterday, maybe some returning IPs like, you know, MotorStorm, Warhawk might be nice to come back.
Probably get the Crash Bandicoot Skylanders thing.
Yeah.
I hope they don't waste much time on that if they do.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's coming up in about an hour, so we're going to go get ready for that. I'm going to get this show prepped and edited and posted. So for now, I am Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And we'll see you tomorrow.